The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
I want to preach this morning on you've got to see it. You've got to see it. You know, for years I lived in Brooklyn, New York, and of course one of the responsibilities I had as I served on staff in Brooklyn, New York was when many academies that was in the Northeast and sometimes an academy that was in the South would bring their young people to the city. And one of my responsibilities as being on staff was to help and being a tour guide. And so I would take them over and let them see the Statue of Liberty and give the history behind it. We'd take them up to the Twin Towers and the history there. We would go down, of course, to all the different places that was there in the city. And I would give them the history, Rockefeller Center, and all of that. I know the history of all those buildings and stuff. And so one of the responsibilities, and to be honest with you, Tom Cairo, which was the youth director prior to me, held most of that responsibility. And to begin with, I just got to ride along and to go on those evening tours to be able to go down. And then, of course, I picked it up a little bit later. And so many times somebody would come to the city and they would say, "Wow. You've got to see it. Wow, look at that. Wow, isn't that amazing?" And we take the kids out soul winning. Our favorite place to go soul winning was on Fifth Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. We averaged about 60 or so teenagers that would go soul winning. And favorite place to go on Saturday. We always had teen soul winning on Saturday. And favorite place to go, we'd always have a teen activity. We'd have teen soul winning, which we'd go out for about 3 hours. We'd meet at 9 and go from 9 to 12. And then we'd eat lunch together as youth director and youth director's wife and youth workers. And we'd eat lunch together. And then we'd always have a youth activity afterwards. And so, you know, the teenagers would be with me on average every Saturday from 9 o'clock to about 3. And we would just have a good time in fellowshipping and serving the Lord together. And I never will forget when visiting groups would come in, we'd always ask them, "Would you like to go soul winning with us? Would you like to go out soul winning with us?" And sometimes they would say, "Yes, we would." And now that wasn't the purpose of which many of them came to the city, but sometimes they would say, "Yes, we would." And we'd have the privilege to take them out and we'd show them. And I've heard this said over and over, boy, from my teenagers that was back then, they would say, "You've got to see this. You've just got to." And they always had in their head what it was that you had to see. You've got to see it. You've got to see it. And so that's been something that has been said over the years, not started by them, but passed down from generation to generation. You've got to see it. You've got to see it. And that means that you're excited about something. It might be an amazing sunset. And you look out the window and you say, "You've got to see it. You've got to see it." It might be a sunrise. As we were coming in today, Jared and also Rebecca ride together sometimes, and I'm down to one vehicle right now, and so I hitched a ride with them in today where Mrs. Wells could have the vehicle, and so I was in the car, and there was the sunrise, and Jared looked out the window and said, "Wow, look at that. You've got to see it." And Rebecca looked out the window and said, "Wow," and she took out her iPhone and she snapped a shot of that and told her brother, "Do you want the snap of the picture?" All right, but you've just got to see it. Sometimes it's a double rainbow that you see in the sky and you may say, "You've got to see it." Sometimes it's some type of pet that to you is cute and you say, "You've just got to see it." Our college kids went over to the place that's called the Gaylord Ice Museum, and they went in there and they saw, of course, all of the statues and whatnot that was made of ice as our college went over there on a college activity. And I saw pictures. Many of them sent me pictures of things that they saw. And it was like, "You've got to see it. You've got to see it." And may I say, that's the way it ought to be when it comes to Christmas time, where we say, "You've got to see it. You've got to see it. You've got to understand it. You've got to be able to get it." And but some people miss it. Now, why is it that some people miss it? Let me give you some statements and I'll give you the message, but just opening statements. Some people miss it because some miss Christ because they're preoccupied. One day a woman got into an elevator, and she was at Macy's, and of course it was the store that had the floors, if you would please, of Macy's. And on this floor it was the section for men, and this floor was the section for women, and et cetera, et cetera. And so she'd done her shopping, and she had all those gifts, and so she's getting ready to get on the elevator, and the elevator door opened, and as it opened, there was just a lot of people that was inside that elevator, and she squeezed in as she had her hands full of the gifts, and so she squeezed in, and everybody was squeezed so close together, and somebody spoke up, and they said this: "I don't know who was responsible for this Christmas thing, but I wish that they'd be tired and feathered and strung up and shot." And the lady spoke up, and she said, "You don't have to worry about that. They crucified him." Now, may I say, because we've lost it. We get so tied up in the materialistic world, and I'm all for gifts. I'm all for it. I've gone out, and I bought my wife a nice gift and a couple other things, and, well, they were nice too, but I mean, nicer little things is what I'm trying to say. I bought my children gifts already. I bought the staff gifts and had them sent to their houses and stuff like that, and took care of the relatives, and so I'm done. I'm not in a panic now, and so now may I say that I love that type of stuff. I love giving gifts year-round. Most of the gifts that you see given away from the pulpit here, and anybody can give a gift from the pulpit. Just sit it up here, we'll read it off, and give it to people, and that's what we do, to love people. But most of the gifts that we give away from the pulpit, Mrs. Wells and I give away, just because of the fact that we try to encourage somebody needs a little bit of encouragement, or love somebody needs a little bit of loving, try to stand beside somebody, need somebody to stand beside them right then. All right, now what I'm saying is this: I'm saying, though, we can get preoccupied with those things, and we forget that the cause of Christmas, are you ready, is Christ. Is Christ. So let's never forget the main cause of Christmas. Some people miss Christ because what they try to do is they try to take and they get too sophisticated for that which is a simple truth, for that which is the acceptable simple truth. Back many years ago, there was the birth of Augustus. Augustus' birth was announced, and they said, "Good news." When Augustus' birth was announced, they said that he was going to be the one that was going to be the savior of Rome. He was over the Roman Empire for 44 years up until 14 AD. He settled most of the civil wars, and he reigned in an unprecedented way to be able to bring calmness to that which was a country that was in a natural uproar. But there was a first century philosopher that was also a writer that said this: while the emperor can bring peace to that which was a warry land, and while he can calm a warry sea, there's nobody that can give peace like our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we understand that somebody can be somebody that is sophisticated that it could draw away from that which is the natural draw of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, aren't you glad that we have a Savior of the world who is Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad that you don't have to worry about, "Well, I tell you what, I'm trying to work my way to heaven, and I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to do that." No, there's only one way to heaven. The Bible says, Jesus speaking in John 14:6, he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So there's not two ways to heaven, or three, or four ways to heaven, or five ways to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ the righteous. So we understand here that some people, they miss it. They miss it because they're preoccupied. They miss it because they're too sophisticated for the season. They miss it because they think that it's too rigid, and we need a new look. We need a new look. And we've been celebrating Christmas for how long? Too long. And so we need a new look. Well, you know, there's something about the old look that is more precious than a new look. There's something about the Christ child. There's something about the story of being born in a manger. There's something about the shepherds watching by night. There's something about the wise men coming and gazing. There's something about the wise men presenting their gifts. There's something about the story. If you look at the purity of the scriptures and understand the story that gives a defining definition of Christmas. And may I say, every child needs to understand the true meaning of Christmas. And And every teenager needs to understand the true meaning of Christmas. And those that are aged and lying in a nursing home need to understand and have it reemphasized, the true meaning of that which is Christmas. But sometimes we miss it because of that which is a preoccupation, or too sophisticated, or maybe wanting a new look, or sometimes because of the fear of getting too close to that which is deity. Too close. You know, because when you get close to deity, it all of a sudden it shows our uncleanliness, shows our darkness. The closer you get to holiness, the more unholy you look. And so sometimes we look at that which is deity, and I thank God for an old-fashioned, fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, so many separated Baptist church. I mean, I thank God that we've stayed the old way. I thank God for that. We're in a day now where the praise and worship is so much and encompassed our churches, and we live in a day where it just seems like that people don't dress up for God no more, and we live in a day where it just seems like that everything is casual, which is the root word for casualty, and we live in a day where it just seems like that we play down God, and may I say, we're not supposed to bring God down to our living. We're supposed to take our living up to God. All right, and so we understand this, that sometimes, here's what we do, when it comes to Christ, we de-emphasize Christ because we're preoccupied, because we're too sophisticated, because we, I think it's a rigid way to look at it, and because we don't want to get that close to deity. Sometimes we do it simply because we lack credibility ourselves in our witness. It's hard to witness about the Christ child if you're not Christ-like, because people will laugh at you. They'll laugh at you if you're living your life one way and yet you witness of Christ another way. It sometimes will bring a mockery to the name of Christ. All right? And so we have to be credible with our witness. Credible with our witness. That means when you go to pass out a piece of paper that we call a gospel tract, and you go up to pass out a piece of paper, and I like these little tracts, don't you? We have a little tract here, and it's called You've Never Been So Loved. And, of course, the back is the gospel. But the front is pictures of a little baby. And a little baby has, I'd call them sugar kisses, but has red lipstick all over the face where mama has come by and kissed him all over. Well, how could you refuse a tract like that? How could you do that? You know, and so, but, you know, when you go up, the way you present that tract will make all the difference in the world. You can go up and try and give somebody a gospel tract and look like you're mad and mean and upset. Or you could go up with a smile. You could go up with a pleasant disposition. You could go up and say, have a nice day. I hope you'll read this. This is such a blessing. Has been such a blessing to me. And I just wanted to give it to you as a gift. All right? But you could go up and you could. I'm saying the way that we represent Christ, sometimes we lack credibility. We lack credibility. Build your credibility at Christmas time. Are you listening? Build it year-round so that at Christmas time, you're able to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. Live it all the way through. And then, of course, let me give you some ideas about these shepherds. Can I do it? We talked about already how come people do not keep Christ as the centerfold, if you would please, or the main attention getter, or if you would please, emphasized at Christian time of Christmas. Now, why is that preoccupied? Why is that? Because they think that maybe they're too sophisticated. Maybe because they think that it's needs something new. And let's get rid of the old thing called Christmas. Maybe because they're afraid of getting too close to deity, or maybe because they lack credibility in their own witness. Now, let me give you some things about the shepherds. Can I do this? Statement number one, the shepherds' first response was this: let's go and see. Let's go and see. Now, by the way, we ought to present Christ in such a way that in other people's lives, here's what they say: let's go and see. Let's go and see. Hey, you remember that that woman, that was the Samaritan woman? You remember she came to Jacob's well, and she met the Lord, and then she went back to the city, and she said, come see a man that told me all that I ever did. You remember that? All she was saying is, come see. You know, you don't have to know your Bible too deeply to simply say, come see, come see. You know, one of the reasons I can't wait till the auditorium gets remodeled and gets refinished, I think that it's going to be a definite a tribute to a holy God. And people will be able to say, hey, come see where I go to church. Hey, come see. All right, now wait a minute. It ought to be that way about the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever have a cousin? You ever have a relative? And boy, they got just one of those personalities that's no quit. Boy, they got a personality so great. Yeah, boy, they make you laugh and they make you roll. And boy, they're so excited about the things of God. And they're, but they got a balance in their life. And you know they're not going to be offensive and stuff like that. And so you try and get as many people around them as you possibly can. And here's what you'll say. Come see. Come see. Won't you come see my cousin? Won't you come see my uncle? Won't you come see my grandpa? I want you to come see. Well, that's what the shepherds were faced with. Look in your Bible. Let's go to Luke chapter 2 and look at verse 15 as you use your Bible this morning. The Bible says, and it came to pass, the angels were gone away. It says, from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even onto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. So the very first response when they heard about the Christ child was this, let's go and see. Let's go and see. Let's go and see this Christ child. Let's go and see. You know, many years ago, according to our history records here, as a very interesting footnote here in the United States of America during the war, the Civil War, back in 1864. It was a cold, dark, wintry night, and it was in Petersburg, Virginia. The Confederates were facing off with that which was the Union Army. General Robert E. Lee was over, of course, the Confederacy, and Ulysses S. Grant was over the Union soldiers, and they were facing off there in Petersburg, Virginia. All of a sudden, on the Confederate side, there was a major general by the name of George Pickett. George Pickett received a telegram that night that his wife had delivered a bouncing baby boy. Robert E. Lee decided that he was going to take and celebrate. And so he told his men of the Confederacy, he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make fires tonight all up and down the line. Fires up and down, big fires, big fires. And so they made big fires all up and down the line. Boy, they were excited. They were excited that that Pickett had now had a son. Well, years ago, prior to the war, before there was the northern encampments and the southern encampments, it was Grant, Ulysses S. Grant and Pickett, that was contemporaries, if you would please, in West Point. They knew each other well. I mean, they trained together. They knew each other well. So Ulysses S. Grant sent some spies over that night and said, what in the world is the fires all about? Why is there fires? You know, and news came back. Pickett has a son. And he remembered those wonderful memories of being in West Point together with his friend Pickett. And so Ulysses S. Grant said, no fighting tonight, no shooting tonight. Let's all build fires on this side to celebrate the birth of a child. And for that one night, the war was postponed. For that one night, no gun was fired. For that one night, nobody snuck over and tried to cut somebody else's throat. The birth of a child. By the way, that was not the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the birth of a little one. Now, may I say, are you listening to me? If the birth of just one child can stop a war for one night, what do you think the birth of that which is the Son of God could stop? If we would focus on this at Christmas time, you don't have to have war in your home. You don't have to have war between a brother and a sister. You don't have to continue to have a rage and a war between you and a neighbor. You don't have to have a war between you and a church member. But if you focus on Christ and allow Christ to be able to penetrate that which is the Christmas time, do you believe for one moment that a little baby could stop a war for just one night more than the Lord Jesus Christ could stop a war in your house? I'm saying this morning, we understand that the shepherd's first response to this was, let's go and see, let's go and see. Let's notice something else. Their second response was this, let's go and tell. Look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 18. The Bible says, as they heard, it says, in wondered, it says, in those things which were told, listen to them by the shepherds. So here they've already gone and they've told somebody. He said, they heard these wonderful things by the shepherds. It's something to go and see it yourself. Have you ever had such an amazing thing happen in your life that you could not keep quiet about it? Have you ever had that? Many of our little boys and girls, when they receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they can't hold it in. They just cannot hold it in. And so a parent will bring them by the office, and they'll call to make sure I'm at the office, and they'll come by the office, and they'll say, my little boy has something to tell you. And that little boy will walk in my presence, and will say, boy, I've received Jesus as my Savior. You know why? Because they went and saw, now they can't help but go and tell. There's just something about inside of the believer that you just cannot keep it in. It was old Jeremiah that decided he was going to run from God. And one day God just got a hold of him. And he said, I just can't keep it in. He said, I just can't keep it in. He said, it's in my bones. It's in my bones. I just can't keep it in. That's the way every believer ought to be. Now you might not be able to stand on the housetops and preach a sermon, but you can give out a gospel tract. You might not be able to share your testimony without quivering and fainting in the street, but you can be able to maybe tell the story of Christ. I'm saying that Christmas time ought to be a time where we, like the shepherds, will say, go and see, go and see, go and see. It ought to be a time where you and I, like the shepherds, will say, go and tell, go and tell, go and tell. Use it. It's a wonderful opportunity. Two times a year, present themselves as a natural opportunity to be able to talk to people about Jesus Christ. Natural opportunity. One of those is Christmas. The other is Easter. Natural. Just natural. You know, most people get more religious during Christmas time and Easter than any other time of the year. I was out door knocking the other day, and I said, do you go to church anywhere? Oh, yes, I do. Do you go faithful? Oh, yes, I do. How often do you go? Oh, I'm faithful. Well, that's wonderful. How often do you go? Oh, preacher, I tell you what, I never miss. Well, great. When do you never miss? I never miss Easter and Christmas. I am faithful. Isn't it funny how people get religious during those two times a year? Isn't it funny? But isn't it funny how other things, and by the way, I'm not against you putting up a Christmas tree. I'm not against you decorating, giving out gifts. Some of you daddies dress up as Santa Claus or something like that. I'm not against putting out eggs at Easter time. I'm not against that. But let's not do it to the point, don't get me wrong, let's not do it to the point that it de-emphasizes the main reason for the event. Go ahead, put your Christmas tree up. Hey, go ahead, decorate it. Hey, go ahead and wrap the gifts, especially for Mama. Get Mama extra gifts. Because if Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So treat Mama extra sweet. You know, Dad, most men are not as emotional as women. How many of you have figured that out? Would you raise your hand kindly, please? So most men, if you give them a tie, they just sit there and say, well, thank you very much, thank you. For years, I told my kids would say, what do you want for Christmas? I'd say, 3x5 cards. 3x5 cards. I use 3x5 cards like they're going out of style. 3x5 cards. Then I got so many 3x5 cards, I got sick of them. But I never told my children that. Well, they're in here now, they know. But just something simple. Just something simple. You know, but many times our wives and our moms, boy, they need that extra attention during Christmas time. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. God made us all different. And there's nothing wrong with that. Spoil them. Spoil them rotten. You can't afford anything, give them an IOU. You say, you're kidding. No, I'm serious. Give them an IOU. I owe you 5 times this year that I will wash the dishes for you. I owe you. I owe you every Friday. I'll wash the dishes every Friday. You say, preacher, you're going too far. I owe you that I'll make my own bed and you won't have to try and find that if there's a floor and if it still exists. I'll pick up my own clothes. I'll put them away. IOU. IOU, breakfast in bed. IOU. IOU, Daddy, I'll wash your vehicle every Friday for the next 15 days. IOU, I'll run the vacuum cleaner in the house. IOU. You say, I don't have anything you can give of yourself. These young people would say, well, I just don't have any money. Well, then do an IOU. Do an IOU. You know, IOU, Mom, you don't have to make your bed for the next 4 months. I'll make it. You just get out of bed and go on with life, and I'll make the bed. What a sad sight it will be when I get done, but I'll make the bed. IOU. IOU. You know, IOU so many meals. I'll cook the meals on Friday, or I'll cook the meals on Thursday, or I'll clean the blinds that's in the house, or I'll take out the trash, or I'll iron clothes. I'll iron clothes. I'll even start with mine in case I burn them. All right? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that the shepherds' first response was, let's go and see. Second response was this, let's go and tell. Third response is this, and I'm done. The shepherd's response was this, let's go and live. Let's go and live. Now, they're given in chronological order here according to what they did. First, they said, let's go and see. They had to see it before they could tell it. They had to experience it before they could live it. So the very first thing was, hey, let's go and see it. Let's go and see. Let's go and see. You hear about something, let's go down there and see that. Let's go over there and look at that. Boy, I've never seen that before. Let's go and see that. And then you go and see it, and it's like, man, you want to tell somebody. Wow, let me tell you what we saw. Hello? And then when you tell somebody, then you like to go and relive it again. Relive it again. Somebody said the way to have a good day is to find out how you had a good day before, and this retrace the steps. Have a good day. All right, let me give it to you, and I'm done. Luke chapter 2, and in verse 20, the Bible says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. It says, for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. All right, so what did they do? They went and they lived. The Bible says that they returned, and they couldn't keep their mouth shut, but they returned. They went and they lived it. It was a part of their life, part of their life. Hey, come on, we all have stories, don't we? We all have stories of fright. We all have stories of fear. We all have stories of terror. We all have stories of joy. We all have stories of big events. We all have stories of things that we've gone through in our lives. And life is full of memories. All right? Now, wait a minute. Here's what we understand. We understand that they went and they said, hey, this is what I want to go and I want to live there again. I want to live there again. So they went and they lived it. They lived it. And by the way you remember something might be different than the way it was. I was raised on a 280-acre farm. First 6 years of my life. I thought one day I like to go back and buy the farm. Like to buy the farm. Turn it into a camp for children. Like to buy the farm. It was always a dream. Buy the farm, you know. All right. And so I thought I'm going to go back and investigate. So one day I was preaching up in the Maryland area, and I told my wife, I said, let's go over to River Valley Ranch, where I made a decision of following Christ, and let's look at the old ranch. I said, and let's go over there to where the old farm is. I want to see the old farm. And man, I went over to the old farm. Did you know when I was raised there at age 6, it was a huge house. But when I went back to view it in my 30s, the house had shrunk. We had huge barns for the corn and for the wheat and for the hay. And when I went back, the barns were all, they weren't like I thought they were. We had chicken coops. We ran chickens and raised chickens. And boy, sometimes they got up to about 300-400 chickens one time. Had chicken coops and I went back and I thought, boy, these things are so small. How do you put all those chickens in this little bitty place? They must have changed this up a little bit. Used to be I'd have to walk up the lane to get the mail for my grandparents. I remember walking up the lane. Seemed like it'd take all day long. Went back in my 30s and looked at the lane. Somebody scrunched that thing up. Just a little piece down to the place. And I say, You can't go back and relive memories. But those memories that are true to the day, such as Jesus Christ and the true meaning of Christmas, you can relive every day of your life and it never changes.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.